today, an Alliance Party motion calling for an end to paramilitarism comes before the Assembly. It criticises the Executive's response to the Fresh Start panel report on the disbandment of paramilitary groups, calling it lacklustre. It calls for the Executive to produce a substantive response to the report, which contains clear targets, timescales and resources for implementation. And with paramilitary groups still in the streets, will this make any difference? What are we going to do to get rid of these people, finally, from our streets? The Ulster Unionist Party leader, Mike Nesbitt, with us this morning. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What is the extent of the problem, do you think? How much are these people still active?
Well, I think you got the sense of it when you revealed the statistic that was in the Irish News, the 400 homes that people had to move home because of paramilitary threats. So I think that gives you a good sense of it. And I think, you know, part of the problem is it's not very easily measured because people are frightened. And the reason they're frightened is that one of the activities that these organisations engage in is unwanted control of communities, of housing estates, if you like. And I think I said to you previously, there have been times when people have wanted to meet me to talk about the threat that they feel. And they won't even come to the constituency office because they're afraid of being seen to come in and that being reported back and having bad consequences for them. So, you know, what we're all, I think, calling for is more than warm words, more than an agreement echoing round the Assembly chamber that this is bad and something must be done, into an action plan that has a budget. And we know there's £10 million the Executive is not spending at the moment. An action plan that has these targets, timescales for delivery, and the resources to make it happen.
Well, the Executive has spent half of the... There's £10 million a year, and they've spent half of it, haven't they?
No, half would be five. They have allocated £3.8 million, and that's not the same as spending, Stephen. And remember what happened with the Social Investment Fund, where they promised during the last mandate to spend £80 million tackling poverty, and they only spent about £3 million, and every time you challenge them about that, they talk about the money that they have allocated. In other words, they may have promised to spend £50 or £60 million, but the actual amount of money on the ground is an awful lot less. So they have, I think, agreed to spend £3.8 million, but we don't know how much of that has actually been spent.
Well, Alistair Ross is supposed to be coming on the radio this morning. We're finding it difficult to get him from the DUP today. What should the money be spent on?
Well, to a certain extent, that depends on what the criminal justice system is saying. But I would be very clear that one of the things we have to do is put in more robust systems where people feel safe in reporting paramilitary activity, not just in terms of unwanted control of communities, but people who are lining their pockets, who are basically nothing more than criminals, using paramilitarism as a flag of convenience, and also organised crime, particularly cross-border crime. So, you know, it's money for the police service, for the National Crime Agency. Customs and Excise potentially have a role to play in tackling...
Yeah, but fun to do what? Crime. How do you make people safe? I'm trying to understand what the money buys.
Well, for example, you know, how did they catch Al Capone? They caught him on his taxes. So it's resources to investigate. And it's not just police investigation. It's not just bobbies on the beat. It is clever, targeted investigations looking for the weak spots. And the weak spots tend to be financial reporting. And that's something that's gone on for decades, not just in this country.
We know that they are continuing to collect protection money, we so-called protection money. We know that they continue to intimidate businesses. We know that businesses are handing over, you know, these thugs walk in and they take hundreds of pounds a week from some shops. Where is the kind of zero tolerance campaign that we should have seen from the police around this? Where is it?
I don't think you can expect, you know, a shopkeeper to take the lead on this, Stephen. That's why I'm saying...
Yeah, we can expect the police to have an initiative on it.
Yes, we could. And maybe that's where some of that £10 million that was promised should be spent. But if it's going to work, somebody has to be caught, somebody has to be prosecuted, and sanctions have to be applied. And, you know, that has been my call for some time now, that we don't have proper sanctions. We know the people are out there, and whether the organisations continue to exist in a structured manner or not, the individuals will continue to be there. They will continue to wake up in the morning thinking, well, what can I do with my time and energy today? Politically, I think we have a responsibility to encourage them to use it positively. But we also have to say to them, if you're going to continue to use it negatively, such as spending your day collecting so-called protection money, we will catch you and we will apply sanctions to you that you will not like.
Yeah, the Department of Justice have given us a statement and they've said work has started on implementing the actions. Where we've been able to move quickly, we've done so. For example, in providing funds for forensic science to provide equipment that will speed up justice, or in devising an awareness-raising campaign to bring home to people the reality of organised crime.
Well, if that's what's happening, as a responsible party of opposition, we would welcome that, because these are the sort of measures that need to be taken. But what we're not seeing is the level of commitment and energy from government that we would expect, and that's what has been reflected in the motions that we're going to debate at Stormont today.
You talk about sanctions. What type of sanctions?
Well, prison is the, to my mind, is the ultimate sanction. But these people enjoy a lifestyle, Stephen, and you know that as well as I do. They enjoy a lifestyle and they enjoy some prestige, certainly within parts of their community. And to deny that is potentially the ultimate sanction.
Do you think we are trying to turn a blind eye to what some of these people are doing in some of the activities they're doing?
Some of the people I have spoken to, the sort of people I've mentioned who were nervous even about meeting in a manner that might be discoverable or public, have said to me, they've named names, and they've said, we have no doubt that these people are protected by the authorities. In other words, they are informants. I have no way of knowing that, Stephen, because I have gone and I've tried to ask the questions of very senior people within the security services. And of course, they will not answer questions about specific individuals. But that is part of the problem, because it is a public perception, whether it's true or not. And that perception is very damaging.
I'm looking at this three-panel report, some of the key lines in it. Individuals, businesses, voluntary, community groups incur loss of revenue as a result of criminal activities carried out by members of paramilitary organisations. Fraud, extortion, racketeering, counterfeiting, smuggling, duty evasion of fuel, cigarettes, alcohol. It's quite extraordinary that here we are in 2016 reading that from that report of what they are still involved in. They don't feel on the back foot, do they? They don't feel like they're being hunted down, because they're not being hunted down.
No. And I suppose if you go back to the 1990s, there was perhaps an overgenerous attitude towards those groups and the need to wean them off violence. But it is wrong to reward people for stopping doing something they should never have begun in the first place. And what has gone wrong in the 22 years since the ceasefires is that we haven't put a line in the sand. We haven't said on the 31st of December 2016, it is all over for you. And from the 1st of January 2017, if you are caught racketeering, smuggling, counterfeiting or whatever, we will throw the book at you.
That's
what is needed.
Where's your evidence that the police and the authorities are holding back on these people?
There is, as I've told you, there is no evidence, because when you go and ask, you're not given information.
But it's just your instinct, is it?
No, what I'm saying is that's what's being reported to me by the community, by members of the community. Right? They give you stories, anecdotes, which I cannot verify. So it would be irresponsible for me to even repeat one of those anecdotes. But what they add up to is a perception in the community that certain people who are known to be leaders of paramilitary gangs are not being arrested, because something is going on in terms of their relationship.
And why would the police not do that?
If these individuals were abused to them, is the theory.
That's a big accusation, Mike.
I'm not making an accusation, Stephen. What I'm telling you is this is what is reported to me as a perception. And it is a big problem for those families who feel that they are intimidated by unwanted control of communities by certain individuals who they cannot understand. They cannot understand why those individuals are still roaming the streets free. And they make a conclusion. I'm just reporting that. I'm not accusing the police or the security services or anything like that. I'm just saying that's what's reported to me.
And that perception that they have, do you share that perception?
No, but I understand the perception. And I understand that while the perception is out there, that makes it even more
difficult. So you don't think it's true?
I don't know whether it's true or not, Stephen. What I'm saying is it's a perception that needs to be tackled because one of the consequences of the perception is it could encourage a shopkeeper not to report to the authorities that he's paying racketeering and protection money because he doesn't know what the relationship is between the person claiming the money and the security services. He has a fear, possibly totally unjustified. And these are the sort of perceptions that we need to tackle. And in reading out that long list of activities from the report, you're identifying where the money needs to go. More resource to investigate fraud and racketeering and counterfeiting and all the rest.
The Alliance MLA, Stuart Dixon, with us this morning as well. Good morning to you, Stuart. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What needs to be done, Stuart? How big's the problem?
Well, it is a big problem, and what we need to do is to persuade this executive to actually do what they were tasked to do in the Fresh Start Agreement, and that was to produce clear targets, clear timescales, and to put in the necessary resources into an action plan. And they have failed in respect of this. You've heard Mike Nesbitt say they've only committed £3.8 million, but they haven't actually spent that. And, of course, we know that, indeed, the Treasury have said they can't get the money from the UK government to further enhance this action plan because they just simply haven't produced an action plan that was of any value at all. It looks to me much like a blank piece of paper.
Well, actually, the NIO, the UK government has given a statement to the Nolan Show in which they've said the NIO has received no requests for access to funding.
Well, that's because there's no credible action plan.
The Fresh Start Agreement makes clear the UK government will provide an additional £25 million over 5 years to tackle continuing paramilitary activity. Discussions are ongoing with the Northern Ireland Executive on the action plan and funding arrangements. Well, what does that mean, discussions are ongoing?
It means that, for me, it seems to imply that there is no action plan and that presumably the DUP and Sinn Féin can't agree one in the executive and they can't get it published and therefore they can't present a credible action plan to the Treasury in order to secure those funds. And, you know, it is vitally important that we deal with this issue of paramilitarism in our communities. You've heard Mike Nesbitt explain the corrosive effect that they have on businesses, on families, on estates and on communities. We need to get this money to do the things that are necessary to be done. We need to get the action plan. We need to be putting the resources into, and I welcome the resource that's gone into, for example, forensic science, but it needs a great deal more of that. We need perhaps even to be funding a specific task force within the PSNI, working together with the National Crime Agency on those cross-border issues and perhaps the bigger drugs issues that go right across the whole of Europe, to drill down through these organisations and to make it absolutely clear that the public is saying enough is enough. And Stephen, when it comes to the gatekeepers,
the public have thought that enough is enough for many, many years.
They have.
It's more complex than that. Look, I repeat again, we know on a weekly basis that these people walk into shops and collect money.
And they do that because they believe that.
And we know how it works. You know, the front is, oh, it's for a charity or it's for an ex-association or it's for this and that.
And they
do that. It's pure intimidation and it's continuing to happen. It's racketeering. Yeah. The police know about it. The community knows about it. Yeah. We all know about it. And it just continues.
And it's because they still feel that they have some measure of blind eye being turned to what they're doing, that they still have some residual support from certain politicians, or that, as Mike said, there's a community feeling that perhaps the police are using these people as informants or whatever. Those are the sorts of things that make all of this wrong. That's what we're saying. Enough is enough. We've got to get this money into dealing with those corrosive activities in our communities. We've got to get behind the gatekeepers. We've got to support bona fide community organisations. Those organisations that have been there for years, not these new pop-up organisations that appear in order just to grab funds.
Who are you talking about?
Well, there are all sorts of organisations that pop up, and government actually creates them. Government makes the situation that allows for new community organisations to appear in order to facilitate the transfer of funds from government to community organisations.
And you're against that?
Yes, I am against that. I think that what we should be doing is putting the resource into bona fide community organisations.
Well, they're all bona fide, are they not?
Well, some are and some aren't. And some are just pop-up organisations that appear at the time when a sum of money becomes available to do a particular project or programme. I would far rather see that resource spent over a longer period of time in incredible organisations like Home Start, Sure Start, church groups, and those that really genuinely know where needs and resources need to be targeted in communities.
The Department of Justice have issued us with a statement. They say tackling paramilitaries and organised crime is an executive priority, they say.
Well, if it is, then, Stephen, it doesn't seem to be much of a priority because...
They say they've established a well, we haven't even got anybody from the executive on the programme today.
And we haven't seen any sort of programme or action plan from them.
Well, they say they've established a programme board to manage activities, oversee the spend associated with delivering the action plan. They say $50 million has been made available over 5 years, half from the Northern Executive, half from the UK government.
But we know that money's not coming to us because they haven't actually produced their action plan.
They say the NIO have a seat on this board, are working with us in partnership to tackle paramilitaries within our communities.
Fine words, but failed policies. Failed actions.
Well, what would you do?
What I would do is I would be sitting down, taking that report, working our way through that report and delivering an action plan that had clear targets, clear timescales and the resources. It would also include, Stephen...
Yes, but that's just words. That is words. What would you do? You know, clear targets and all this malarkey. How would you stop them continuing to collect protection money and intimidate business, for example?
Well,
what would you do?
It's not for me to tell the PSNI how to do their job.
So you don't know. You don't have a plan.
I would certainly ask the PSNI, did they wish to have the resource to set up a particular group of officers to deal with that problem? To specifically deal with that problem? How can that be resourced properly? Why aren't there sting operations going on to deal with that?
Well, you tell me. Why aren't there?
Well, because the police may not have the necessary resource to do that. Police have a wide range of things to do. But here is ring-fenced money that is available to tackle paramilitary activity, and I would like to see a substantial amount of that money targeted at the PSNI so that they can go out there and do the job that the community expects.
The action plan was only published in July.
Yeah, and there's been no action since. Oh, apart from a few photo opportunities, and that leads me on to the other point of how you, that list that you of things that you complained to me about. And that is quite simply that we need a list of do's and don'ts for public sector bodies, for public organisations, perhaps even for the PSNI, and certainly for politicians when it comes to dealing with these pop-up organisations.
The Department of Justice say activities this year will amount to approximately $4 million of spend.
Well, I welcome that. But I'd like to see exactly how it is going to be spent, and I want to know that it is part of an overall plan that will tackle once and for all the corrosive issue of paramilitary activities in communities, people who are making money out of the poorest and most vulnerable people in our society.
They're working on intimidation. Sure. Let's cut to the chase here.
Yes.
That's what they're working on. That if you go to the authorities, you'll get burnt out of your home. You'll be driven out of your home. If you speak up, you'll be put out of your area. If you speak up, you'll be shot in the legs. So, you know, that's the reality.
Those are the sad realities.
That's what these people do. So how do you stop it?
Well, there is only one way to stop that, and that is through the effective use of the tools of law and order in our society.
But law and order can't be there 24 hours a day.
No, it can't. And we need to create a community, a feeling and a community spirit that says, we know who these people are, we're prepared to talk to the police about them, we're prepared to give proper evidence.
And what, talk to the police and then have to go under a witness protection scheme? Talk to the police and not be able to go back to your area ever again, looking over your shoulder every 2 minutes?
Well, look, the reality is we've
having
got
graffiti put up about you in the area?
Yeah.
Getting shot?
Yeah, we've got
having your business burnt down?
We've got to get to that. We've got to get to that situation where people have the confidence to come forward and do that. Whether
wow.
that's through confidential phone lines, whether it's through conversations with the PSNI, we've all been through this. We all know what this intimidation feels like. I know what this intimidation feels like. I've lived with it as a local
yeah.
councillor and as an MLA for over 40 years in Northern Ireland. And I will do my bit. I represent my constituents and I will take them to the PSNI, and that is the only place that I can take people to deal with this issue. But we've got to make it clear, and communities need to make it clear, that we need to stop these gatekeepers and we need to get behind the gatekeepers, and we need to be delivering, as in the executive of this assembly needs to be delivering for those people in their communities.